robbed of the Scott and Al show on Monday.
Robbed.
By that rascal Chris Tower.
Oh, that rascally Chris.
It's actually Scott's fault. But he's here to make amends.
And now it's Scott, you know, adding to it, trying to throw Chris under the proverbial bus.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up, Scott. Yeah.
Well, you gotta admit he's kind of rascally. You know, he has the kind of that soft talker voice, but then he like
less
comes
rascally,
with the heat.
Though, less rascally since he shaved.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Would you agree?
Yeah. But no, I'm feeling great today. I picked up Steven Matz in a couple leagues Sunday night. Wearing a new pair of socks.
New socks.
New socks for the first time. Like, this is an embarrassing admission, but when do you throw out socks?
Pretty much never.
Yeah, when they get holes in them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait until that happens.
It's sometimes not then. Yeah.
So, you know, when you get to the decade point and beyond, do you just have to finally say, okay, these socks have been great, but it's time to move on? That's eventually the point I reached, because that's...
That's a
long
time.
They didn't have holes in them, but they were looking pretty ratty.
That's a pretty long time. That's a good lifespan for a sock. 10 years, I think, would be a good rule of thumb. Go ahead and buy some new ones at that point.
did we talk earlier about the fact that I have a T-shirt that is older than Ryan Bass and also older than Jamie Erdahl?
There are two hosts here at TVSports.com.
Yes, I have a T-shirt that is older. Not than combined, but older than each of them individually.
So it's like 30 years old?
Almost, yes.
That's nothing. I have by the time I'm your age, I'm gonna have plenty of things that are 30 years old.
Yeah, all right. Well, call me when that happens. I bet you don't.
Okay, welcome to the show here on Tuesday, June 16th. So much to talk about from yesterday, including some players who are having their best season ever. So we're gonna talk about that. Can they keep it up? Guys like Francisco Liriano.
Oh.
I think it's his best season ever. I'd have to...
Oh, he's had some, like, early in his career, a couple really good seasons.
All right, maybe he's not the best example, but he's in the section.
The best in our memory.
Yeah. Starling Marte so far is having his best season ever. Logan Forsyth is having his best season ever. We'll talk about those guys. We'll look at some pitchers who are owned in about 20% of leagues or less, and if they are the next big thing. Talk about the stupid All-Star Game thing, Noah Syndergaard stuff. But first, the most under-owned player in fantasy, a nominee, is it Justin Turner? He's 29% owned. He is, as Don Mattingly basically confirmed, the starting third baseman for the Dodgers. And this is his Turner slash line, 321, 391 on base, 500 slugging percentage, 0.78 fantasy points per plate appearance, which is much better than Manny Machado, much better. Significantly better than Matt Carpenter. Having a really good year. 29% owned Justin Turner.
I have another nomination.
Hit me with it.
Will Venable is owned in 9% of our leagues.
And now Will Myers is back on the DL. I do like that one. It's a good one, Al.
Thank you.
So who's more under-owned? Will Venable at 9% or Turner at 29%?
Well,
do you like better? Who are you voting for?
You know, I
Omar Infante.
Like Al's, because I do think it's he's the more under-owned, because I think there are more uses for him. Third base has become so deep.
Yeah.
Like it's almost as deep as first base.
Which Turner's also eligible at, which doesn't help anyone.
And so in a standard mixed league, I think it would be hard for me to squeeze Turner on my roster because, okay, maybe he's the starter for now, but Hector Olivera is going to be up soon enough. The way prospects have been getting called up recently, I'm not ruling out Corey Seager before season's end, and I think that could change pretty quickly. I'm also not completely trusting in the performance, and
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
best
really have a good
ever.
Explanation for it. I just don't feel like Justin Turner's this good.
All right, well, right now, if you need someone, maybe you're needing a corner infield spot or something like that in a roto league, Turner's 29% owned. He's playing well. And Venable, what do you think about him? 2 years ago, he was like 2020, wasn't he?
He was, I think, 22-22, in fact.
Oh, how about that? 9% owned and could be leading off,
mm-hmm.
playing every day for the Padres.
And he was playing a lot even with Will Myers in the lineup, so play even more now. And, the power's back this year. And, a lot of run-scoring opportunity at the front of that Padres lineup.
I dropped Will Myers in one of my shallowest leagues because... the wrist injury is what wrecked his season last year, and supposedly this one wasn't as bad, but here he is back going on the DL, so I think it could be a long absence for him.
Here's the most dumbest thing ever. Omar Infante has now passed Jose Altuve in All-Star Game voting, and now eight Royals are in line to start. Eight Royals and Mike Trout. And was it Alex Gordon, I think? He was like, they're going to change the rules because of this. Like, even he was like, this
good
is
chance.
Dumb. This is awful. Just stop voting.
He's probably upset because he wants to go to the World Series, and he wants to actually have home field advantage in the World Series. What Royals fans
help.
Are doing are costing their team in the long run.
That's a good I never thought about that.
Yeah.
That's a good point. This is so stupid. I mean, I can't believe this is happening.
I can't either.
And how many of them actually deserve it? Perez has been really good.
Yeah, I mean, actually, several.
They deserve to be on. There's some that deserve to be on the team. Actually,
yeah,
deserve to be the starter.
I'm not sure.
I'm thinking
anybody.
Zero.
I'm not sure any of them do. Yeah,
Perez may have the best case, but
right.
I think you'd have to go with vote, right?
I would.
I would too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he is second in voting.
Get out there and get out there and VOGT, everybody. Get those Royals off the All-Star team as starters, anyway. Okay, big news. So there's been some talk about Noah Syndergaard going to the bullpen. Apparently that could happen later in the year to save his innings. What a start he had last night. Holy cow. Six innings, two hits, one run, two walks, and 11 strikeouts against Toronto. That's four awesome starts and three bad ones for Syndergaard. Give me your read on this situation, as now Dylan G's been DFA'd as well. So, Scott, you just talked about how you picked up Steven Matz in some leagues on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think we all probably own Matz in some leagues.
Well,
right.
Matz is now supposed to be up within 2 weeks.
All right.
And the plan would be at that point to make John Neese the Dylan G guy who's shuttling between the rotation of the bullpen. So I don't think there are any real concerns about Syndergaard going to the bullpen.
And I think he's been, you know, the four great starts versus three bad starts, I think, kind of undersells how good he's been. Because I feel like there's only been one start that was just really out of character for Syndergaard. Because one of the bad starts, he still had 10 strikeouts. Another one was his first major league start, and
yeah,
it was solid. So as far as the going to the bullpen thing, I don't worry about that for now. And maybe if he strings together a few great starts, you could think about selling high on him. I actually, it might end up being a good thing in the long run if he goes early enough to get 10 appearances and relief pitcher eligible next year. It's unlikely, but something to think about.
You know, I think making the playoffs would be the worst thing for the Mets franchise. Like, it would extend all of these pitchers.
Yeah.
Especially if they won a series or something like that. But you are dealing with a lot of pitchers right now in baseball who maybe we should start thinking about their innings limits and what that means for fantasy. You know, like, I don't know how hard they're going to push DeGrom and Harvey and Syndergaard, and that's just the Mets, right? All these young pitchers who are being called up. Should we be looking to sell a guy like who are some of the other rookies who have been really good? Not Rodon. I mean, it was terrible last night.
McCullers,
and right, exactly.
And there's a team that's going to probably be in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with these guys, but I'm not sure we can expect them to throw 200 innings.
Yeah, yeah, in many of the cases, I don't think you can.
Something to think about. You know, I think the good news is you got most of them without investing a high draft pick or anything, so you can just ride them while it lasts.
Ride them while they're hot.
There you go. Now, Stephen Vogt, we were just talking about him. Oh, here's what his manager, Bob Melvin, said. He is, quote, banged up, really banged up. He's got a myriad of things bothering him right now, end quote. Vogt did hit a grand slam last night, but in June, that's his only home run. He had five RBI last night. He entered with two RBI. He's batting 140
yeah.
in June.
It was a 3-for-38 start, I think, for the month. And I kind of suspected he wasn't right physically because he limped off the field that one game, like, at the beginning of the stretch. And was back in the lineup. I think he missed a day, and that's it. And obviously the plantar fasciitis that kind of wrecked his season last year after a start just as good as this one. Everybody forgot about it. So I think it's a good sign that he had this big game, and I wouldn't be looking to sell on him, but I don't know.
It's
I'm a little concerned
for a catcher,
about it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, luckily they can DH him, but Ike Davis will be back soon.
Well, yeah, maybe at least in a deeper league, pick up Josh Fegley, who it seems has been playing more lately.
Steven Strasburg will make a rehab start this week. Evan Longoria, day-to-day, he was hit by a pitch on the wrist. Jose Fernandez says he's coming back on July 2nd. Delino DeShields is on the DL. Joey Gallo started in left field.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's here to stay.
Yeah, you think so?
I think that's... I just watched you walk across the room to grab a water bottle. It was not
really
a usual
thirsty
sight for the podcast. Adam just walking around the room.
Headsets have a lot of slack.
Yeah, they do. Sorry to get distracted there. Yeah, he's here to stay because Josh Hamilton's hurt too, and they could all, if they wanted to play DeShields when he got back, they could always, he could always take Leonis Martin's place in center, which may not even happen because DeShields hadn't been so hot as the starter since moving to left field. So I think Gallo's proven his worth.
Which means you should never believe general managers when they say it's just temporary. Except maybe in Chicago with Kyle Schwarber.
Maybe.
Do you believe that?
Maybe.
It's just temporary with Schwarber because Schwarber's being called up, Al, to DH this week in AL Parks. He's a catching prospect for the Cubs. Do you think it's just for this week? They say he's going back down after this.
I mean, for fantasy purposes, I would assume that and take the conservative route. But, I mean, as with Gallo, it's, you know, they certainly could put Schwarber in the outfield. There's room for him there. So whether he – I mean, if he has a great week – yeah, I think he stays up.
Colby Rasmus is on the bereavement list, and Houston called up Domingo Santana to replace Rasmus. Should probably not believe GMs that it's short term, except for this, right?
Bereavement is so short term.
Yeah.
Can I get back to Schwarber for a second?
Uh-huh.
Because I actually hadn't considered the possibility of him staying up with it. It makes sense. I mean, he was more equipped to play the outfield when he was drafted than catcher. The Cubs seem to want him as a catcher long term. He's eligible at catcher in fantasy. And assuming he does stay up, he would be an everyday player who walks a lot and has a lot of power. Potentially elite catcher right out of the gate. So maybe this should be
a better stash
bigger
than Peter O'Brien?
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe right up there with Steven Matz in terms of stash ability.
Okay. So we don't care about Domingo Santana, right?
No.
Fantasy. Okay.
Well, just because it's going to be a short-term thing. I mean, obviously he has a lot of power.
Trevor Rosenthal had arm tightness. He was given a day off. Kevin Segrist got the save for St. Louis. They were downplaying it, so could just be a one-day thing. Jose Altuve could be back today. Carlos Gomez, starting to get a little worried about him. He has a lingering leg issue. He's already had one DL stint this year. He missed another game yesterday. Ender and Ciarte may need to go on the DL with a hamstring injury, which could be very good news for
Jake
the Peralta Lamb Tomas thing.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on that. Will Myers back on the DL with wrist tendonitis, as we talked about. This was so cool. I talk about this blog a lot, but go to – if I've gotten a lot of questions about the blog. Where do I find it? Where do I find it? It's in the morning, cbssports.com/MLB. The Ion MLB blog, they recap everything that happened. In fact, they actually do it live during the games the day of. So if you want to just kind of follow along with them. But if not, check it out in the morning. So they had a video of this guy, Tom Willis, throwing out the first pitch at San Francisco last night. He has no arms. He threw out the first pitch with his feet, and he delivered like a really good pitch.
How cool.
It was so cool. Yeah, it was so cool. And San Diego fired Bud Black. And Scott's cell phone. Scott, is that a new manager for San Diego? You breaking news over there?
I am not John Heyman. I will not pretend to be.
Is there any fantasy impact from Bud Black being fired?
I don't really see how, no. Wouldn't it be funny, though, if A.J. Preller was hired?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Oh, it was so frustrating with FanDuel yesterday. Every decision I second-guessed myself just turned out wrong. I took out Ben Zobrist for Angelton Simmons, and what did I say? I was like, he should be able to draw a walk against Tyson Ross. Zobrist had a great game. I think he had four walks or something, scored a bunch of runs. I took out Starling Marte for Yasiel Puig. That was a mistake. I took out Liriano for Tanaka. That was a mistake.
Yeah, basically, if you start Liriano and stacked Pirates,
you
won money yesterday.
If you started Liriano, probably you won money just because so few people did, assuming a cash game and not a tournament. It's hard to win money in a tournament.
Yeah, so, you know, FanDuel was a little frustrating for me yesterday, but we're going to get back on the horse and win it today. And you need to check out FanDuel right now, and you need to use our offer code CBSPOD. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use that code CBSPOD, And look, I mean, what was the big deal? I lost a dollar yesterday. Still had fun doing it. Entry fees start at just $1. No season-long commitment. No sign-up fees. And I think one of the cool things is you start to get good at FanDuel and you figure out, well, this is a lineup I really like. This is a day I feel really confident. And that's when maybe you pony up a little bit more money, play you know, with a little bit of higher stakes. Yesterday wasn't one of those days for me, so I played it conservatively. We've got a show for you, DFS, Daily Fantasy Live, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on CBSSports.com with Ryan Bass. And who's on it tonight?
Al Melchior with Heath Cummings. Heath every day.
Excellent. So check that out, 6 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com. If we have time, a little bit more FanDuel later. But it was a busy day, so let's talk about some of the standouts, and I'll let you guys kick it off. Al, any standouts today or no standouts for you?
You know, I have a list.
Okay.
I really do, but I need to go to it. Because I was just, you know, so in the moment here with this program. Let's go. Well, we already talked about Syndergaard. I think he was the biggest standout. So yeah, let's talk about Josh Harrison actually.
Okay, good, great game for Josh Harrison yesterday.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like he's second base eligible now. So I think we've sort of poo-pooed him a little bit. He got off to the slow start, but he's heating up, and I feel like he's kind of getting back to where he was last year with not only the better production, but with the you know, multi-positional eligibility just within the infield.
Same person keeps calling me. They're not in my phone. Who is this?
That. I shouldn't have been reacted. All right, so you like Josh Harrison.
Yes.
Feel good starting him rest of season?
I feel good starting him right now. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Three stolen bases the last two games. Suddenly he's on an 18 steal pace again. That's another way he's getting back to last year.
You guys have laptops.
Yeah.
So do I, but I don't want to use mine because I'm recording on it, which is different than usual. But try to look up Tyler Flowers' stolen base success, because I think
it's bad.
I think I heard yesterday that at one point he had thrown out like 3 of 31 batters after Harrison had stolen.
I'm not sure it's that bad because I looked it up. I know there's one day last week when I was making DFS choices and there was a good base stealer going against him. And yeah, the numbers were not good. And while I think, Scott, you're looking that up, Josh Harrison over his last 27 games, 379 average, 407 OBP, 483 slugging with 6 steals.
It's pretty
so
good.
Hard to.
How many runs?
19.
That's great.
That is great.
27 games. Standout for Scott White.
So I could go a lot of different directions here, but let's talk about Wei-Yin Chen.
Best season ever. Can we hold off on him till we get to our best season ever? Okay.
Let's hold
off
on him.
Go another direction.
Another direction.
You're all about one direction.
Let's go with.
Let's go with Greg Holland.
Okay.
Let's go with Greg Holland real quick. Greg Holland gave up.
You guys are not in sync.
Very good. Three runs. God, it's so hot in here. It's like 98 degrees. We're on fire. Okay. Greg Holland gave up 3 runs on 4 hits with a walk at Milwaukee in a non-save situation. He had not given up a hit and only 1 walk over his previous 5 appearances. And his manager, Ned Yost, said, vote for him for the All-Star team. No, he actually said it was his fault because Holland had been rusty and he hadn't pitched since June 9th. But it hasn't been a great season for Holland. His ERA went up like almost 2 runs, I think, with this one. Now it's 3.52. Okay, what do you think, Scott? Greg Holland.
Well, the one note here, you have it in here, but you skipped over it probably for effect. But his previous 5 appearances.
No, I said that.
Oh, you did?
I didn't say the strikeout totals.
Yeah, it's 6 strikeouts to 1 walk, and there were problems with the walk rate when he first came off the DL, and he just didn't look as dominant. But he had been dominant, and it does make sense that after a long layoff in a non-save situation.
Yeah.
We see that from closers a lot.
Yep.
I think he's fine.
Now who's your standout?
Well, let's go with Anibal Sanchez.
Okay.
Yes.
Not his best season ever.
Well, no, it's not, but it's been getting a lot better here recently. The home runs have not been killing him the last few starts. Haven't been getting up so many recently. 3 of his last 4 starts have been great, and then the other one wasn't so bad. The strikeouts have been high all season, and I've noticed particularly his last couple starts, a lot more ground balls, kind of an underlying contributor to the big home run total was that he was giving up more fly balls than ever. And he's not a ground ball pitcher, but I think we're starting to see him normalize as far as that goes. And then hopefully the rest of the numbers will follow suit here. I think he's going to be okay.
Would you rather have McCullers or Anibal Sanchez?
Anibal Sanchez. And I like McCullers a lot.
Would you rather have Tyson Ross or Anibal Sanchez?
I think I'm to the point now where I need to drop Tyson Ross behind Anibal Sanchez.
Would you believe that yesterday was only the second start all year in which Ross has allowed more than three earned runs, but he just barely ever, I mean, it's usually like six innings, two runs, or three runs, five innings, two runs. The walks are horrible. He had another bad start. He walked five guys yesterday against Oakland, five innings, seven hits, four runs, five walks, six strikeouts. And I mean, I think we talked about him being a buy low guy because his BABIP was high, but it's...
Well, he had started to turn it around. He had a six start stretch, but yeah, now he's going back in the other direction. So it's not looking so good for Ross.
J.D. Martinez is homered in three straight games. In fact, two hits and a home run in three straight games. He is now the number 21 outfielder in both points and roto. You think he's a top 20 outfielder rest of season, J.D. Martinez?
Not quite.
Top 25?
I could see it just if it's like a health thing. I don't think on a per-game basis he'll be one of the best.
So you don't project him to go on some crazy tear and be incredible like he was last year?
No, because I think if he's shown anything this year, it's that the batting average he put up last year was a fluke, which made sense given the BABIP and the lack of plate discipline.
I do have him ranked 19th. I mean, I was going on gut, and when you said top 25, I'm like, I'm not sure if I've got him inside or outside. So apparently I like him a little better than I think I do.
It hasn't been a great year, but it hasn't been bad.
No, it hasn't been bad. You know? He's must start.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of questions lately about Desmond and Semien. So I thought we would spend some time talking about them. Defending Desmond and supporting Semien, which is getting harder and harder to do every day.
Azer's alliteration.
I don't actually want to defend Desmond. I just have kind of a blind faith in him that, like, how could he possibly be this bad all season if he's healthy? Maybe he isn't, but there have been no indications that Desmond is not healthy. Three straight 2020 years, four straight seasons with at least 20 steals. You know, through June 14th of 2014, he was only hitting .232 with five steals. Of course, he had 13 home runs. And he finished his last 88 games with a .271 batting average, 11 home runs, and 19 steals. So basically from June 15th on, and last year he was incredible. But he's been worse than he's been worse this year than he was at this point last year by far. And he entered Monday with a .305 BABIP, so I don't even know if we could say he's been unlucky. So can we defend Ian Desmond at this point?
I think you made a decent defense already just in terms of that he's had such an extended track record of success that I think he's earned that trust that, you know, you're talking about having where it's just a blind faith. And I think for a player who's established that kind of track record, I need like 4 months of badness to really start doubting him, which unfortunately when that happens, that, you know,
it's a little late. Yeah,
yeah, it is
late. But you know, but it also, you know, you could wind up kicking yourself if you bench or trade, or I don't think you drop him, but you know, you bench or trade him.
People are talking about dropping. I get a lot of emails. Say, drop him.
Well, what makes it that point about how you end up kicking yourself? Like, what incentive do you have to drop him? What else is out there at shortstop that is worth adding? Like, right. there are probably five owners in your league who are satisfied with their starting shortstop right now.
I mean, I'm sure this is a pretty rare example, but maybe one or two people. Should I drop Desmond for Rougned Odor, just looking at a middle infield spot?
No,
right, I would not do that. Yeah.
And I'm looking at the batted ball stats for Desmond on Fangraphs. It's nothing that stands out here that's different other than a higher infield fly rate than normal. And that's not a good thing. But the BABIP you mentioned is pretty much around league norm right now. And usually he's a little bit above it. So, yeah, maybe the batting average is going to be a little depressed. But what you want from Desmond are homers and steals. And I think those still could come.
Just to give you an indication of how much shortstop sucks right now. How do you feel about Wilmer Flores?
I mean, I don't really. If I saw him on waivers, I don't think I'd even make a play for him because all he does is hit home runs.
He is the Well, I'm excluding Zach Cozart because he's on the DL. He is the sixth best shortstop in head-to-head points leagues right now. Points leagues!
What's his batting average?
It's 248, and his on-base percentage is 283 because he never walks.
Gosh.
And you think you'd need that in points leagues to measure up.
But, yeah, it's a terrible position.
Yeah.
And that's why it's hard to get away from Marcus Semien. So we're supporting Semien here.
He's ahead of Semien now. Flores is.
Yeah. Semien, I you know, less faith in him, obviously, because he doesn't have the track record that Desmond has. And he has one multi-hit game since May 18th. Since May 18th, it's been almost a month, no home runs and one steal. He's been absolutely terrible for about a month now. So can we support Marcus Semien?
It's another scenario where if he played any other position, I think I would have moved on by now. But it's shortstop, and what else are you going to do?
Well, we were talking about him being a 2020 guy at one point, so is this just a slump for... Like, you say you would have moved on, but moved on in, like, a stash kind of way or moved on in a drop kind of way?
I probably would have dropped him in a mixed league. And I'm not... Look, I never approach it as me dropping a player is... is the same as me declaring a player stinks and has right. no future. It's just he's not worth protecting anymore, and I'm not confident enough he's going to turn things around quickly enough that I'll regret it.
Right.
Because he strikes out so much, and that's part of the issue.
Do you guys expect a turnaround from Semien?
I do. It's too early in his career to really know if this is the case, but I'm starting to think maybe he is just a streaky hitter, because what we saw earlier in the year was pretty typical of what Semien did in the minors, and then whenever the White Sox would call him up, he would usually disappoint. I think the last call he had last year, he hit really well, if I recall that.
I looked at the numbers today. So he didn't start out well. September he hit between 270 and 280, I think.
With some power, right?
With maybe some doubles power.
Okay.
I don't think he stole any bases, though.
Okay.
Can you double check that? Because I might be mixing.
But I just remember thinking at the time and maybe even writing some things and saying, you know, this is more, you know, what we expected from Marcus Semien. So, we're seeing this pattern already of really extended cold streaks where he does very little, and then other more extended periods where he produces really well for a middle infielder. And that was part of his appeal. I mean, you know, Scott is saying that if he played another position, we would have moved on. And I would agree with that. But part of what was enticing about Semien coming into the season was he was going to be second base eligible. And then when, you know, it became apparent he's also going to become shortstop eligible, that was when, you know, I really became very interested.
Mm-hmm. September, he hit 273 and slugged 485, which is good.
Did he have any home runs?
Three home runs and 66 at-bats.
That's very good.
Yeah.
So he had a really good month. If you were on the Royals, you'd obviously be starting the All-Star game, but it made me think who should start at shortstop for the American League.
I would probably still say Semien, except for the fact that he's made like 20 errors.
Yeah, I don't think I think that's too much of a red flag. That's too much of a...
Yeah, Dan Uggla played an All-Star game. Did he make three errors?
He did.
He was the GOAT.
Maybe Escobar's not such
and not
a
greatest
choice.
Of all time.
That's what the acronym means. Yeah. Every time I see somebody call somebody a GOAT, they're clearly using it in a good way, but that sounds like a terrible thing, calling someone a GOAT.
Who the heck is a good shortstop in the American League? I mean, obviously Hanley doesn't count, and Reyes was hurt for too much.
I mean, here's probably the best case for a Royal starting would be Alcides.
Oh.
Yeah.
Best season ever! And then we'll do the next best thing with some starting pitch. You know, let's get the next best thing out of the way. We can do it quickly. Erasmo Ramirez, Williams Perez, and Robbie Ray. Are any of these guys the next best thing?
I think Ramirez could be. He did it again. And what I mean by that is that he got...
Is he recording Britney Spears?
Yes.
Right. That's what we're doing on today's podcast. 90s
no, it was more like Baby Baby One More Time.
Oh, good.
Because this is in the game log. All right, now four straight games with double-digit whiffs. Now, this one was a little less impressive. Only four strikeouts, and he has only 12 over the last three starts, none of which he's gone deep into. But he threw 72 pitches three starts ago, 78 two starts ago. This time he went 103 pitches. So the whiff rate, not as high, but still very good. And, 14, 16, 12, and 12 is the game log for the whiff totals. So he's getting swings and misses. It's just weird because either opponents are making contact or they're missing entirely. He's not freezing anybody.
It's very strange. So, yeah, he went 103 pitches last night, but the two prior starts, he gets pulled after five innings, or one was five innings, one was five and a third. I wouldn't looked at the game logs. He wasn't really in any trouble. In fact, he had thrown five innings. He was pitching well, it seemed. Didn't even come out for the sixth. The other one, five and a third, he had one base runner on. They took him out. Maybe it was five and two-thirds, whatever. So
he's so lucky.
They have to let Erasmo Ramirez pitch deeper into games before he's really fantasy relevant.
Yeah, I have to agree. And, you know, at least this case, they weren't holding him back on the pitch count.
Yeah.
And we can't fault them for pulling him with 103 pitches. But he can be more efficient than this.
In terms of Perez and Robbie Ray, Scott, what do you think about those two guys?
Well, I actually I was just kidding about the "he's so lucky" comment. I was trying to fit another Britney Spears line in there.
I missed it.
Yeah,
it's outrageous.
For all the underlying numbers from Ramirez that are interesting, there he's actually the least interesting of the three to me.
Really?
Yeah, which isn't to say I'm super excited about the other two, but. Robbie Ray, I mean, what was this? Two hits over seven innings?
Mm-hmm.
And the walks, he walked way too many guys in the minors before the college, but there's only been an issue in one of his five starts since his promotion, one of his four starts, I should say. Strikeouts haven't been there, and that would be the game changer. If he started striking out a bunch of players, I'd be rushing to pick him up because he throws very hard for a left-handed pitcher, like 95, 96. So if he can do that in the strike zone, that could be something. And then Williams Perez, like, he's had one bad start in six.
Yeah,
the rest one earned run or fewer.
He's been really good.
And he's just so weird to me.
He's Pelfrey-esque.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't know. Maybe I make too much of him because I actually watch him sometimes and I don't watch Pelfrey probably ever. You know, not like I'm frequently watching Twins games. But,
I blame you.
But yeah, he gets a lot of ground balls. The strikeouts are there sometimes. And he just has this weird delivery that I don't think hitters pick up on very well. And for now, it's carrying him. I don't know how long that can last, but it's kind of like a Mike Bolsinger thing with the curveball where right now it's working, and there's no reason to assume it won't work at some point, though I could see it, just because it's an oddity, I could see that changing.
Well, I think, you know, I talked about this yesterday when you ditched us. Bolsinger has faced two opponents twice, and each time it didn't go very well in the second start. One of them was at Colorado, so we'll throw that out. So it's really just been once. But tonight he starts, right?
I don't think so, but I will check.
Well, they're at Texas, but later this week...
Yeah, it's Brett Anderson tonight.
Okay, later this week, I think he faces Arizona, a divisional foe for the second time, and we'll see how that one goes.
Yep.
With Erasmo Ramirez, Williams Perez, and Robbie Ray, do you like any of them better than Trevor May?
No.
I would have to say no.
You like any of them better than...
It's getting closer with Erasmo.
Any of them better than a guy who's 91% owned, Edinson Volquez?
No, not yet.
How about Charlie Morton?
No.
Okay.
I would rather own Erasmo than Morton.
Best season ever. Here we go. These guys are having their best season ever. Let's talk about it. Let's see who's legit. Logan Forsythe, 77% owned. Career low strikeout rate. Career high walk rate. More fly balls this year, but a lot more pop-ups too. He has a 299 BABIP. I don't know what any of these numbers mean, so
you're just throwing a bunch of numbers in there.
434 slugging percentage, much higher than Forsythe's previous career high of 390, and he is a top 12 second baseman right now. 28 years old, getting regular playing time for the Rays.
Now, I like Forsythe a lot, but before we talk about him, Scott, I got to know if I'm alone on this. Every time that you say best season ever, are you hearing Dane Perry in your head singing Best Kiss Ever?
Best prom ever?
Best prom ever.
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
That song sticks with you, and I'm sure nobody listening has any idea what we're talking about.
Hopefully they do. Hopefully they're familiar out there. So you'd like Logan Forsythe a lot, Al?
Yeah. He should be owned, and I mean, he's 77% owned, so this is probably the case, but he should be pretty much universally owned in Roto. because while in a a head-to-head league, you could probably find better options for second or third, but in a roto league, I mean, he'd be great at a middle infield slot.
Joey Butler, 37% owned. Best season ever for the young Joey Butler.
Doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't. But this one, I'm doubting. 460 BABIP, 4 walks, 37 strikeouts for Butler.
Yeah, I mean, the batting average is going to have to fall. I think you would say that about most players batting 344, though, without even looking at the BABIP. I think he's going to not be good enough to use in fantasy in the long run, but maybe be good enough to stay on the roster, play against lefties.
He is crushing lefties. He's doing very well against righties, too, but crushing lefties.
Right. Some power there, but not enough. He's kind of like a less powerful Chris Colabello, or maybe a right-handed hitting Jimmy Paredes, which is obviously going to be bad in the long run. I just don't think there's much here.
Jimmy, I'm glad you mentioned Jimmy Paredes, because a lot of times it's just short-lived. And maybe that's the case with Paredes. Were you going to say something about...
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to do a visual thing, which works out really great on a podcast. But you see, this is a Sprays chart. You see all the little red dots into right field.
Uh-huh.
So that's some good opposite field hitting by Butler. So, yeah, I mean, I don't buy the batting average as it is. But as an above-average BABIP guy, I'll buy into that. I think he'll be helpful for batting average.
Would you rather have Joey Butler or Will Venable?
Venable.
Yeah, Venable.
Wei-Yin Chen is having his best season ever.
Best season ever.
I know what these numbers mean. Career best strikeout rate, ERA, and whip. He has a 1.12 whip. And he is a top 36. Number 36 in roto, number 34 in points, starting pitcher so far. 289 ERA. So, yeah, what do you think about Chen? He's 66% owned.
I'd been quick to dismiss him because the home run rate was so high. But it's starting to normalize now. He's always going to be a guy who gives up a decent number of home runs. But now it's not like, oh, if he keeps giving up home runs this rate, that ERA is going to explode. And he has a career-high strikeout rate. He's very good control. I think the addition of the improvement in the strikeouts this year is really going to be what causes him to be somebody who's universally owned when all's said and done. And part of that's because there needs to be some pitchers beyond the top 60 who are universally owned, and he stands out as one of the more reliable ones.
Chen always comes off to me as like just someone who could get destroyed, though.
Oh, he can.
He has a lot of really bad starts.
Give up that many home runs, that's certainly possible.
Those guys.
But at the same time, you're starting him every time he makes two starts,
which isn't that often.
It's often enough to roster him, I think.
I just don't trust him at home and in most of the AL East ballparks. So actually, he's somebody I kind of shy away from. In fact, not kind of. I tend to shy away from him in the two start weeks. It's got to be really good venues for Chen. So I have to say, even with the higher strikeout rate, I'm not really buying into him.
But you're a little scareder of him wrecking your ratios, I think, which is kind of a roto way of looking at it. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, points leagues, you could take a bad start, and maybe it's not a bad start. Maybe it's a good start. Like if he has a 5 ERA, he's still giving you positive points.
I think he could have enough quality starts to help in a points league.
I think that's spot on. Yeah.
Francisco Liriano, I actually think you could make a case for Liriano as a good sell-high candidate if you're getting something really good in return. He's been awesome, but it's not like he's young. You know, he gets hurt all the time, and he's just having an unbelievable season. His whip is like under 0.9. It is, where's his whip? Where are you? 0.96, so it's under 1. 5.7 hits per 9, that's a career best. 2.9 walks per 9, lowest since 2010. Career high strikeout rate, 10.8 per 9 innings. He's not this good. I always liked Liriano, but he's not this good.
I don't know.
Why would it be any
that.
Different? I mean,
it's not that different. I mean, for the stretches of his career where he has kept where he's commanded the strike zone this well. This is how dominant he could be. And, you know, last year he started out with control problems and it wasn't so pretty, but then he finished the year really strong. I don't know if the time he missed to injury contributed to those control problems. I know I trust in Ray Searage, the Pirates pitching coach, specifically to get hard-throwing, normally wild pitchers to throw strikes consistently. We've seen it do it twice now with A.J. Burnett.
But not really with Liriano.
No, well, I mean, where was Liriano before he came to Pittsburgh? He was about out of baseball, right? I mean, he had really...
But he's still wild. I don't want to sound like I'm talking down Liriano. I actually don't even know who you'd be able to sell high for. Like, one thought is try to sell him for Matt Harvey or something like that.
Okay. It's not going to work, but you could.
If Harvey has a bad start tonight, I bet it would work.
Okay. You could try it. It doesn't hurt to try
it.
I think it sounds outlandish.
No. I think depending on the league you're in, I could see that happening in a lot of leagues.
People will say, oh, he's got Tommy John hangover. They read the stupid press clippings and think that there's a big issue with Matt
Harvey. All right. If you could do that, you know, if you could do Garrett Richards, I would do that. I see.
About Strasburg?
No. I would rather have Liriano than Strasburg. And part of it is because of, well, something, I guess it was something we were talking about off the air. You made a trade in the podcast league. What'd you get? Bumgarner.
I gave up Bumgarner and JD Martinez for Carlos Gomez and Chris Bryant.
And I was saying, I think I do prefer the Bumgarner side because I feel like he's the best player in the deal. And you were like, I still think I'd take Carlos Gomez first if we were redrafting today. And I don't, because I feel like since the starting pitcher position has turned out to be not as deep as we expected it to be, those high-end guys really make a much bigger difference than I was anticipating. And I think Liriano, because of he's piling up these double-digit strikeout games, and even if we're not really ready to call him quite that level of pitcher, he can pose as that kind of pitcher often enough that he's still this huge asset with the way the starting pitcher environment is right now.
What are Liriano's innings pitched like last 5 years?
162, 161, 156, 134.
That's another big concern.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned the health. So I actually think if he stays healthy, that he can maintain what he's doing.
This is like Cy Young good.
Well,
almost.
You mentioned 2010.
It's really good.
I mean, his control was about this good in 2010, and my knee-jerk response would be, well, there's no way he can maintain this control. He's never done it. Well, he has in his previous career year. He is striking out, like you said, a career-high rate of batters, but batters are striking out more now.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's always been a good strikeout pitcher. And the biggest difference, actually, between 2010 and this year is that the BABIP is more than 100 points lower this year than it was then.
And 5.7 hits per nine, so that can
come up. Yeah, at least the majors.
Oh, wow.
Right. No, I...
Yeah, I
if you
want to
speak technically, speaking, he's got to regress some from here, mm-hmm. but enough that I really care? I don't think so.
Yeah,
right.
My bigger concern is health than regression.
Right. I wouldn't be, like, dying to trade Liriano, but I think...
No, you make a good point. It's worth discussing. If you can't, like, I hadn't even considered Harvey a possibility. And if they're, Al's agreeing with you that it might be in some leagues out there. So, yeah, that's absolutely something worth pursuing. Since I know it wouldn't be something I could do in my leagues, I don't think of him as a sell-high candidate.
Fair enough. Starling Marte is having his best season ever. And he's stealing less bases, but hitting for a lot more power. I think he's having his best season ever. He's a top 8 outfielder. But the batting average is what it usually is, right? The on-base percentage is down a little bit. Slugging percentage is way up. Thoughts on Marte? He has 45 runs batted in, which is a great number.
Yeah, well, there's a good reason behind those trends that you mentioned. He's got a career-high pull rate right now. So, I mean, he's going for the power.
And it's working because he's got 12 home runs. His career-high is 13.
So... Yeah, I mean, he had a fantastic second half last year, and I think he's just building on it.
He's breaking out?
Yes, I think he is. I think he has broken out.
Yep. Nobody up, nobody down today. We go right to the rotate. John Lackey.
Do you regret saying that?
No.
Okay.
John Lackey. Yeah, a little bit. John Lackey, how do you treat a guy who's 5-1 with a 1.81 ERA at home and 6.27 ERA on the road?
I think you just answered your own question.
Well, how do you treat him if he has a two-start week and one's at home and one's on the road?
You look at the venue, the matchup for the road start, and if it's halfway decent, you cross your fingers and you start him.
Unless it's a points league, right? Then you just start him?
I mean, if it's Colorado, if it's, I mean,
it won't be Colorado. That's good. He's already gotten Colorado out of his
system. You know, there's certain starts for him that would be game changers for me. I think at the Dodgers, but generally, yeah, I would start him in a points league.
Talked about Edinson Volquez. He's 91% owned, but after a really, really good April, he's just kind of like, eh. So would you drop Edinson Volquez for Steven Matz?
I would think you could find somebody lower to drop than that, I guess, if push came to shove. If it's such a shallow league that Volquez is the worst pitcher on my roster, then yes, because you need the upside guy in that scenario. And I don't feel like Volquez has a particularly high ceiling, but I do think he needs to be almost universally owned.
Okay. Taiwan Walker, last four starts, 29 innings, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, 27 strikeouts. Damn!
That looks like a breakout.
Yep.
He's putting it together right now.
Four starts.
Who do you like better, rest of the season, Walker or Rodon?
After this last start, Walker. And that's not a response I usually like to give, but I feel like both of them are kind of in this probationary period for me where every start really makes a difference in terms of my perception of their consistency. I thought Rodon was almost there, but he's not, so I'll go with Walker.
The only problem... Well, not the only problem. A problem with Rodon before last night, 6 innings, 6 1/3 innings, 6 innings, doesn't go deep into games. But even last night with Rodon giving up 7 runs in 3 2/3, no home runs. He's still only given up 1 this year.
Can we just from now on refer to them as Rodongs?
Rodongs. So 86% owned. Would it be an overreaction to drop Rodon after this start?
Oh, yeah.
Would it be an overreaction to drop Gio Gonzalez?
Yeah, it would.
I hate Gio Gonzalez.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It's been so up and down, and I don't really know why, because a lot of what he's doing in terms of the rates that you normally pay the most attention to, walks, strikeouts, home runs.
Babe, it was high at one point. I know that.
Yeah. And I read something this morning. He was talking about it like it was some, like, oh, look at how evolved I am as a pitcher.
Is this the ground ball thing?
Yeah, yeah.
In the Washington Post?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. He was using his... he decided in spring training to emphasize his two-seamer more to become more of a ground ball pitcher.
I read this, yeah.
To become more efficient and get more... not rely so much on strikeouts. Well, how's that working out for you?
The only thing he's doing is striking people out.
I guess. I mean, strikeout rate is down a little, but... seems like all those ground balls are leading to a lot more hits, which is not a good thing. Even if the BABIP's high, I mean, you're leaving yourself vulnerable to a high BABIP.
I wonder if Rendon is supposed to be a good second baseman, right? I wonder if defense has something to do with his struggles, if he's giving up so many ground balls and so many hits. Desmond, from what I understood, despite the errors, covered a lot of ground, had good range, wasn't actually a bad shortstop, just makes a lot of errors early in the season. And Escobar at third was playing very well. So it doesn't seem like a logical explanation.
You know, Escobar last year was miserable defensively. I haven't really...
But that was at second, right?
Yeah. Either second or short. I thought it was short.
Oh, maybe it was a short. But I think third he was playing well. At least I read...
No, he could be. I mean, like, I'm going based on last year. And even though I've seen the Nationals a fair number of times this year, I just don't... let's put this way, I haven't noticed bad defense from Escobar.
Okay. Well, I don't have an answer, so I'm not going to strike it from the record. Just bringing it up. Thinking out loud. Fringy starting pitchers, Giovanni Gallardo is pitching very well. Jesse Hahn, Wei-Yin Chen, Mark Burley, Trevor May. Giving you 5 there. Gallardo, Hahn, Chen, Burley, May. Who do you like? Who are your two favorites in that group?
Because I do like Trevor May, but I guess I'll go Hahn with the other one. I think both May and Hahn. No, but I mean, you're calling them fringy, so this is kind of stating the obvious. None of them are must starts, but I think I would start May and Hahn more often than the rest of the list.
Any concerns about Brett Cecil? Last 4 appearances, 4 innings, 3 hits, 4 runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts.
But a lot of that was this most recent one, right?
The runs, two of the two. No, not really. Two of the four runs. No, he hasn't been pitching very well lately.
It's a strange thing. Like, he's not used to getting save opportunities, I think, because he's had three in the last 4 days, and yet he has a total of three saves this season, I think.
Is that right?
Pretty sure.
Makes sense.
So, they seem to be perpetually in the market for a closer. Not that he's to blame. He's four saves on the year. Not that he's to blame for his lack of saves. He just hasn't gotten the opportunities. But
how many walks? He's a bit of a walker, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not bad this year compared to his usual standard.
Okay.
3.0 per nine.
Okay. Injuries news and notes. Ivan Nova is going to make at least one more rehab start before rejoining the Yankees rotation. Lance Lynn expected to just miss two starts with his forearm inflammation. David Wright could be back around the All-Star break. Bryce Harper's back, but didn't homer. Martin Prado could end up on the DL. Cincinnati starting pitcher John Moskett left yesterday's start in the first inning with a dislocated non-throwing shoulder. Doug Fister could come off the DL Wednesday. Jose Bautista and George Springer hit two homers apiece. Aaron Sanchez may come off the DL when he's first eligible, and Charlie Blackman. They haven't faced a lot of lefties lately, but it's kind of interesting to see what happens. He batted ninth against a lefty yesterday at Houston, and they had a DH, so it's conceivable that he would have sat. He's really just been awful against left-handed pitching, but something to keep an eye on. It may not matter that much, because he's pretty darn good against righties. Well, if we have time, if you guys have taken a look at FanDuel, I haven't today, unfortunately. We'll give you some DFS help. If not, watch our show at 6 p.m. Eastern. But here are some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. It's from Oliver. Dear Yarrow, Stuckey, and Travers.
Nope.
Somebody looked that up. I'm in a dynasty league that holds a yearly draft for the amateur draft. This year I hold the number one pick. My team sucks. The league favors pitching heavily, but who should I pick? Dansby Swanson?
Well, I feel like you're saying the league favors pitching heavily, then maybe go for a pitcher like Palmer. I mean, so I don't think Swanson's a bad option because he's kind of considered the consensus best college player and could make it up quickly.
Yarrow, Stuckey, and Travers, those are the last names of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I like this one from Nick. Dear Kangaroosnays.
Kangaroosnays. Yeah.
Topic for discussion. How should you treat a player who's DL'd with plantar fasciitis like Corey Dickerson and Ryan Zimmerman?
Oh, man. I think I always worry about them, even when they come back. And, I mean, we saw that play out with Dickerson. It's something where if you're really an on-the-ball trader, you could wait until they come back and maybe have a nice run and then try to sell them then, just so the worry's off your hands. But you don't want it, like, you're doing that so you don't have to sell low on them, hoping the recent run kind of erases the red flag from the minds of the person you're trading with. That's the only approach I know to take. Otherwise, you're just wringing your hands all season.
You know what I think I just did? I said Palmer, didn't I?
Yeah.
I'm always wanting to call Carson Fulmer Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer? Oh, I didn't even know who you were talking
about.
So no,
that's
about
was a good reason for that. So strike that. I meant Carson Fulmer.
Here's Nick in St. Louis. Dear Don, Roger, and Peggy.
Roger with a D.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You're going to have to look that one
up. I got
up.
The Google machine here.
10-team head-to-head OPS
That's
league.
Not a Mad Men thing, is it?
Could be. 10-team head-to-head OPS league. Should I drop Mad Men?
It looks like it, yeah.
Good job, Al. Should I drop either Alex Wood or Michael Franco?
Although Roger doesn't have a D on Mad Men. Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
Nick. Nick, you suck at spelling. Should I drop either Alex Wood or Michael Franco? For Rougned Odor or Steven Matz?
All right, so it's a 10-team league, so that makes it a little easier. I think Franco's droppable in 10-team.
For Matz?
Yeah. Boy, I'd like to have both in a 10-teamer. But, yeah. I give Matz priority.
And here is Mighty Casey from Mudville Nation.
Oh.
Hello, Lawrence, Jameson, Freddie Benson, and Arthur. Scott, look that one up, please.
All
trade
right.
The trade in a 14-team Roto Auction Keeper League. Okay, a little complicated. So I'll start out by saying the names, then I'll give the prices. I would give up Carlos Gonzalez and Carlos Rodon. Carlos Gonzalez and Carlos Rodon. And get Adam Jones and Adrian Beltre. So I think we would say do that in a seasonal league, right? This is a 14-team Roto Auction Keeper League, and here are the values. Give up Carlos Gonzalez and Carlos Rodon. Gonzalez for 21 and Rodon for 7. Get Adam Jones for 44 and Adrian Beltre for 28. So this is, I think, $44 more or something like that.
Well, yeah, and so you're taking on a lot of salary. It's the kind of thing, if you're playing for this year, it's probably a good move, but I'm not sure it's worth it taking on Beltre for a win-now move to give up Rodon, who could be a cornerstone of your rotation for a long time.
Yeah.
So I think I'd lean no on this one, but it would sort of depend on how good the rest of my roster was.
$48.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Lawrence Jameson, Freddie Benson. Those are the scoundrels. And then Arthur, somebody else in it. I don't know. I've never seen it.
Okay. And from Brendan, are you ready to give up on Gio Gonzalez? Would you drop him for Latos?
I do like Latos right now.
I think I'd do that in 10-team, but not anything deeper than that.
Yeah, I'd probably come up with somebody else I can drop instead, but it just depends.
Any DFS advice, guys?
Yeah, I've only just taken a really cursory look, but Arrieta is probably going to be my pitcher today. Harvey is going. Let me look again for the matchup here. Yeah,
Blue
Harvey
Jays.
Against the Blue Jays. So that does scare me a little bit. Garrett Richards against the Diamondbacks, I think that's pretty good too. Probably a better matchup than Arrieta, who's got the Indians with Trevor Bauer. So I think probably it's going to be either Richards or Arrieta for me. And
so Bauer is pitching tonight? They're just pushing those guys back?
Yeah, everybody's being pushed back a day on those rotations.
And who are the cruddy pitchers?
I don't
love
this pitching crap.
Yeah,
that's good for hitting.
Yeah, no, not very many good pitchers tonight.
Because I don't feel totally comfortable. I didn't like Arrieta yesterday before the game was rained out. But yeah, I don't trust Harvey right now, especially against Toronto. And Richards has been so up and down. I think it has to be Arrieta.
In a tournament lineup, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be putting together, well, maybe not. That backfired on me last time. I was going to say a Morton lineup because Morton doesn't get very many strikeouts. So maybe not such a great idea. But he does have the White Sox, who just don't hit. So it's an option in a tournament. But yeah, just learn from my mistake that Morton may not give you very many strikeouts, and that could hurt you a lot.
Not a great park for Chris Young. You think the Brewers could take advantage of that?
Yeah, I do. I would definitely not go for a Chris Young tournament lineup. Yeah, you may want to stack some Brewers. The thing about Young this year is he's among the league leaders in lowest average fly ball distance, and that obviously matters more for him than any other pitcher on the planet because he lost so many fly balls. But between that park and some of the bats in the Brewers lineup, I wouldn't take that chance to start Young.
Quick look at splits here. Jerome Williams is at Baltimore. Baltimore's hitting the ball so well right now. Righties have a .965 slugging percentage against Jerome Williams. So you could look at that. I think Carlos Gomez, if he plays, I don't know what the price is, but I imagine it's one of the cheapest prices you're going to see for Carlos Gomez. So it's kind of like what happened with Adam Jones last week when he was $3,200.
Yeah.
And then he got hot. So I'm going to guess $3,500 for Carlos
34.
Gomez. Oh, there you go. So maybe you want to look at that. Kyle Ryan hasn't been pitching poorly enough to really take advantage of him.
But
Mike Lorenzen has.
Has he? I thought Lorenzen's actually been pitching pretty well, no?
Not so much. Last start was pretty bad, and the peripherals have been sort of bad all along. So the Tigers against Lorenzen.
Anthony Gost had a good game yesterday. He stole a couple bases. I like lefties against Eovaldi, and actually kind of an interesting matchup is Eovaldi and Phelps were part of the same trade.
Mm-hmm.
And they face each other tonight. So maybe Christian Yelich, he's been playing a little bit better lately, right?
He has.
And Eovaldi, .972 OPS to lefties. And then Jeremy Hellickson is usually a guy I like to pick on. He's not very good.
He's easy to pick on.
Angels are you going to start besides Trout?
Trout's the obvious one.
Ibar's not a bad play just because he's probably really cheap. Actually, I think they've raised his price a little bit. but he leads off. He could score a few runs today. Evaldi, lefties against Hellickson are batting 973. 973 slugging, but not batting 973. 973 slugging. So are there any left?
Calhoun,
yeah.
God, he's been bad this year.
Well,
but the last time out,
underwhelming.
You said
he's only 2,800. He's only 2,800.
Right.
So
that's a good price for him.
Last time it worked. And then looking at first base. Well, I guess that wouldn't work because Pujols is up. He's hot, and I like that, but it's affected his price to the point that he's $4,000 now. And while I wouldn't start Goldschmidt going against Garrett Richards, Miguel Cabrera against Lorenzen,
oh, yeah,
it's a fine start. Joey Votto against Ryan. Anthony, I wouldn't start Rizzo against Bauer. But yeah, those two. Cabrera and Votto. Votto's just 300 more than Pujols. So I can't really see myself starting Pujols today because of that.
How about impromptu FanDuel advice? Man, we are getting good at this. Now let's see if any of it actually works.
That's the trick.
I'm going to trust my instincts today, not second guess myself so much. And I'm not going to fall into the trap of I have extra money, I'm going to spend it. If I like a guy who's cheaper, I'm going to stick with the guy who's cheaper. That's the lesson I learned from the Zobrist-Simmons upgrade that was actually a downgrade. Al Scott, thank you, fellas.
Thank you. Thank you for coming down to Florida.
Always a pleasure.
Enjoyed it, Adam. Enjoyed it.
I think Women's World Cup tonight, so go Team USA. And NBA Finals, too. So plenty to watch, plus baseball. That's it for us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Change your socks.